With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A is after her old shit again, but we are just getting started here on Post Show Recaps, covering Pretty Little Liars, Episode 8, Bad Blood. And I am not alone, of course, as always, joined here by my co-detective, trying to figure out who the heck A is. We may have some answers for you this week. Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
I am doing so well. We have the last three episodes released of the season. You and I have only seen two so far, and I am dying to watch the, just one so far. Did I say two?
Yeah, we've only seen one. We've only seen episode eight.
That was not a slip. I promise I've only seen one.
Listen, you all would know, because I don't know that we're like good enough to not slip up if we like watch the next episode. We'd be so bad about not saying anything.
My point is that I am really dying to see. Oh, that might be a little bit too
ooh,
soon.
That was too soon.
Sorry. No, I am really eager to watch the next two episodes, but we got Bad Blood. Not me and you. We're fine. We're fine.
You probably were extra excited to watch this episode, seeing as how its namesake is from T-Swizzles.
Yeah, I am a huge, I'm not like a huge T-Swizzle.
A pretty big Swifty. I would say you're a pretty big Swifty.
It kind of just came up upon me. I didn't really.
Just happened to you.
It just happened.
Yeah.
Just happened, but I'm loving it. Bad Blood's a good song. I think that's from off of 1989.
I gotta say, this episode. Okay, I know we've said there are some there's some kookiness in the show, right? There's some like hard to believe stuff. There's some like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that stuff in this show in general? But I do feel like episode 8 is where we have fully hit the territory of previous Pretty Little Liars shenanigans. Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. It is nonsense,
like, and in a good way, like in a very enjoyable way,
because it's so funny, because it's like, this is impossible. The whole time I was like, this is not possible, but it happened in the show, at least.
It certainly
so
did.
I really love this episode just because it was bonkers, like the whole concept, and we knew it was. As soon as we saw that Thanksgiving blood drive sign, I said to you, I'm like, what's the end game here?
Yeah, what right? is the what? Well, we were like, well, I think I know what they're gonna do, but that sounds like a really dumb plan. And guess what? It was their plan, and it also was really stupid.
Oh, but like how they executed it was so dumb.
I cannot wait to get into all of this because it is just so far-fetched, so stupid. And yet, I will say, while we didn't really progress the Karen Kelly of it all too much this episode, we did get a lot of progress on the Angela Waters storyline. Yeah. So yeah. I'm really pleased with that. We have two more episodes to solve this mystery and see if they leave us hanging on the end of the season for a possible season two, which I'm still very hopeful for. I think this show is honestly like just good fun. Is it the best television ever? No. Yes. Is it groundbreaking? Oh. Absolutely yes. not. Oh. But it's so fun. It's so stupidly fun. Yeah,
it's a lot
fun.
Of fun. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. I really, really like it. I will advise that Jessica and I are kind of the HBO show Kiss of Death.
We really are. I'm so sorry if the show gets canceled and it's our fault.
Because we covered The Flight Attendant and we covered Time Traveler's Wife, and there will not be another season of either.
Well, The Flight Attendant, I don't think is necessarily our fault because they kind of like, Kaylee Cuoco was kind of like, I'm done. Like, this is done.
Right.
Whereas I do think we are responsible for Time Traveler's Wife.
But in the good news, we also cover The Gilded Age, and that's going to be on for... Oh, yeah. It's as just, long it's gonna be just as fine. There's humans.
Yeah.
It's good. There's going to be 500 seasons of that show.
Oh, no, it's going to be like Downton Abbey, and then they're going to make movies too.
I was thinking it's going to be the modern day soap opera where it's going to be 30 seasons for 30 years.
Oh my gosh. That's so much. It's so much. But yeah, we're going to talk Bad Blood. I do want to give a little bit of a disclaimer before we hop in. As is the case with most of the episodes of these shows, we are going to get into some dark territory again. A lot of suicide talk in this show. So if that's not something that you think you can handle, we totally understand if you need to bow out. I did just want to give a heads up at the top because obviously beyond Angela Waters' death and all of that, we're going to be talking about another suicide this episode. So just to give you all a little bit of a heads up at the top of the podcast. But we pick up where we left off, where the girls run into the bathroom. And I got to say, I do love how this like super rundown grody bathroom has been like their little like hang spot to have their little combos.
Either that or the library. And I just want to ask if your choice is like that really nice small library slash study or the most disgusting bathroom that's ever existed, why do you continuously choose the bathroom?
Especially because I feel like you're more likely to be interrupted in the bathroom unless this is the grodiest bathroom and everyone is like, oh, don't go to that bathroom.
Yeah, don't go to that bathroom. Yeah, it's in the art hallway. It's really gross. You can get hepatitis from going into that bathroom.
Yeah, it's one of the bathrooms that hasn't been updated. Although I got to say, nothing has been updated in this school because it's all so freaking dark. They need lights everywhere. But like, yeah, they're always hanging out in this bathroom. And Mouse, I don't know, the one who seems to be not, they're all kind of unintelligent in various ways this episode. But Mouse at least suggests that they go to police about the photo that they just got of Tyler's body. Mm-hmm. And Farron's like, well, we at least could like anonymously text it to the sheriff. Which again, love Farron here. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Tabby and Imogen, though, say like, no, we need to like, A is out there. A is gonna get us.
I just like think that these girls need to stop listening to Imogen and Tabby, especially Imogen, because she's wearing a crop top sweater and that's 3/4 length sleeve.
And this isn't the hearts one, is it yet? That's later in the episode.
No, this
right?
one's blue. One. It's cute. But the fact that with all respect, her fake pregnant belly is like it's sitting on top of the shirt underneath.
Oh, okay. Yes, I remember.
It's
this
just not
now.
Working for me.
Yeah,
Imogen. But Imogen. The sweater itself is actually pretty cute.
But this is when they decide they're going to tell the rest of the girls about what happened to them. And I do really like how they're like, let's go outside for this. And so they go and they sit on the bleachers in the freezing cold. And they have this conversation, but I did think at least it was a little bit more of a private location. And I do like that we kind of cut through the conversation. We don't necessarily need to see the whole conversation, but the girls are really sweet about it. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. That's so awful. But they do make note that both of these things happened after jock-centric parties where there were a lot of jocks present.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, naturally for me, this meant I was like, I got my eye on you, Sean. I remember
Okay. Love Sean. Love him. He's so sus.
Thank you. Thank you. Finally, you're seeing it. I've been sussing him for weeks. And this episode, I was like, no, it's gonna be him because he's lying about suspicious. The pills.
Yeah.
He's not being nice about the inhaler. And I'm just like, oh, they don't even think about getting his DNA. And he's offering it up willingly.
Right. He is. But, you know, it's interesting that he's willingly giving up his DNA if he's supposedly on these steroid drugs. And he's potentially like the father. So you would think that he would not be like, I'll give up the blood. But I don't know. I thought that I guess I was getting major suspicious vibes, but he's so nice.
I don't know. We'll see. But so this is when Tabby says, listen, they're going to have the blood drive. We need to get in on the blood drive. And then we're going to collect blood samples to compare it to Imogen's baby's DNA.
I don't know shit. And I don't know anything about forensic science, but I just don't think that this would work out.
Well, the problem is, like, because I was thinking, how are they going to get little vials of blood? No, they're going to take the freaking cotton swabs.
Okay. Yeah, this was nuts. And, okay, so I don't know science at all. If anybody
we're not
is
doctors,
a science,
if anybody needs
a scientist, or if you can tell me if you can get, I suppose you could get DNA.
Certainly get DNA. That's not really my concern. You can get DNA off of the cotton swab. The problem is more like you can't identify whose blood it is based on just having a bucket of cotton swab.
Oh, that's what the dumbest thing is. I thought this was going to be like systematic and really organized.
I thought so too. I thought they were going to keep the jock cotton swabs at least separated, but no. And on top of that, they're like, okay, well, how are we going to do this testing of the DNA? And they're like, oh, we'll talk to Noah's mom. She's a nurse. Can't Marjorie help? And I'm just like, okay, all right, sure. In a perfect world, sure. And then Imogen's just like, yeah, you know what else, though? I'm also going to go back and see Crazy Joe because that seems like a perfect idea.
No, you don't go back to see Crazy Joe. Like
she's also, we're getting close to Thanksgiving, which means she's now 7 months pregnant.
Okay. So her not like zero care about the safety and health of her child is getting ridiculous.
Well, I'm also very curious because we had this storyline where her and Chip go to the adoption agency place to like scope it out and get an idea of if that's the right fit for her.
Right.
And then it's been a month and we, because like you have to keep in mind that a month has now passed since Halloween and yet we still have not gotten any more information on that either. Like, okay, is she moving forward with that? What's the situation? We don't know anything about that. But yeah, this is Imogen's great plan is to go see Crazy Joe.
Yeah.
Great.
I just wouldn't, I would not see Crazy Joe. They're lucky that they got out before.
Oh, definitely. And so then this is when we go to see Sydney, who is going out for a run, and she is going to be the one who gets the letter this time. On her front porch is the scarlet letter, and it is the one that was checked out by Angela a ton. Now, didn't Imogen have this? Did she not take it from that shrine?
I would assume, I don't remember her taking it, but she definitely had it in hand.
Yeah, maybe she just looked at it. And then on the inside, there's a little note. And unfortunately, you know what? I think A needs to work on their stuff a little bit because Silence Kills has no A's in it. And so we didn't get a red A on this note.
And it's not very satisfying when there's no
red A's. It's not in
their
brand, you know? Yeah. Brand awareness is a true thing.
Maybe, hi, I'm A, Silence Kills.
Or literally could have just been Silence Kills - A.
Oh, yeah, like
text
yeah.
messages. You
yes,
know?
Exactly.
So very disappointing. But we flash back to 99 where Sydney finds Angela in a dingy bathroom. Like, I think this is the same bathroom in a bathroom stall, sitting on the floor. And I was like, that was so gross. But she's crying, and Sydney goes and tells the rest of the girls something was done to Angela. We can only presume this is about the sexual assault.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, the show is pretty knock you in the face with its references, so I can't imagine they're talking about anything else.
I thought that they did a really decent job with casting the younger Sydney.
Yes. I do too. I think they did a pretty good job across the board in terms of the younger versions of the moms. I think it's pretty easy at this point for us to tell them apart. Obviously, first episode was a little bit tough when you're learning, you know, 10 characters in one episode.
Right.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. But I agree with that. We're back at the train cars now.
Yeah. At Crazy Joe's.
And they go to tell him, they're like, Imogen immediately tells him about the sign-in book. And she's like, listen, there's a sixth signature we can't identify. Could it be yours? And like the most suspicious person ever, he immediately is like, you need to leave.
If I was Crazy Joe, and now granted, I'm not saying I'm not crazy, but I'm just like, if you want to try to separate yourself from the Crazy Joe moniker, I would say act less crazy in this moment and be like, oh, let me see it. Let me see it. Oh, no, you know, that's not my handwriting.
Yeah, he should definitely be less suspicious. Like he didn't.
That was
he
pretty
didn't
suspicious.
Think that, yeah, he didn't. He basically wanted a quick, from my opinion, he wanted a quick buck, and he knew he didn't think that these girls were going to get anywhere with their investigative reporting, their investigation. He didn't think much of their detective skills, and yet they figured a lot out, and he's getting nervous. And Imogen is like moving closer to him, which also got me very like anxious, because I'm like, girl, do not step towards the man who calls himself Crazy Joe. But she does.
Emotionally and stable Joe is your friend. Crazy Joe is not.
And she says Angela was assaulted, and he already knew. He knows things. And she offers him money. She's like, what do you want? Do you want more money? What is it going to take? And he's just like, no, this is going to be very bad for you if you don't drop it. At which point, Tabby kind of pulls her out of there, and they run. But it's like, okay. I mean, by the end of the episode, there are going to be some pretty strong indications that Crazy Joe was A. But I feel like
Crazy Joe is not A. Crazy Joe knows who A is. Maybe Crazy Joe is an assist for A. There's no way that Crazy Joe is A.
Yeah,
maybe
I'm
Crazy Joe is the one in the A costume.
Yes, but he is not the one who's doing the text messages and all of that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you. So back at Noah's house, this is so absolutely ridiculous. Noah tells Marjorie about Tabby and Imogen. And it also makes me wonder, like, because by the end of the episode, I feel like everybody knows about Tabby and Imogen and what happened to them. And I'm like, did they say, hey, it's cool if you tell your parents, or if it's cool if you tell other people, because Noah's telling Sean, Noah's telling Marjorie.
Noah really took the liberties of telling everybody in town. And I think that Imogen and Tabby spent so much effort on keeping it private, but Noah was just like spilling the business to everybody. But I think that it was so irresponsible of Marjorie to sign on to this so quickly with barely any questions.
Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous. She's just like, yeah, I have a friend at the lab. I was like, how? I mean, Marjorie obviously is not great with just in general, like, right, we've accused her of being like kind of a bad mom and just generally not having a lot of, she doesn't think a lot before she acts. So maybe that's just a product of this, but I was just like, how are you so in without any further questions?
It's because she's wild. I don't know. And the thing is that, so she did not get back, or she chose not to get back with her hospital job.
Right.
And any single ties that she has to the hospital, she's potentially sacrificing by making this agreement that she's going to collect children's blood samples and get the DNA tested.
I want to know who her friend at the lab is that's just like, oh, here's a bunch of bloody cotton swabs. Can you run this for me? Like,
what? I know. And then it was Marjorie who was like, you know, DNA stolen is not admissible in court.
Yeah.
And then Noah was like, I don't care. And Marjorie was like, okay, as long as you know that, then
it'll
I don't
open
care
up an
either.
Investigation. It's just like,
will they though?
Maybe you should just start by going to the police.
Okay.
Like, what happened to that Deputy Maroon?
They can't meet with her.
No, but the nurse, I mean, there's a lot of people you could talk to. Anyway, we're at Tabby's house and we see Sydney enjoying a glass of wine on the couch. It's almost Thanksgiving. We find out that Imogen and her mom used to always volunteer at soup kitchens on Thanksgiving, but all three of them are going to have Thanksgiving together. Imogen says, I'll just go to the soup kitchen earlier in the week. Imogen goes upstairs to talk to Tabby and she has another idea. Her mom's yearbook, because her mom is just like the most popular. Everybody signed her yearbook. And so she's like, maybe I can. Now Imogen is not only a detective, but she is a handwriting analyst.
Okay. Well, I do think that this is not the worst idea that Imogen has had.
It's certainly better than the blood drive idea.
It's a decent idea. Try to match handwriting, except that it's hard because all they have is A. Waters. They don't even have Angela Waters, A. Yeah. Waters. So you're working with how many in like unique letters?
Well,
like
the good five, news is,
if that, unique letters.
But the good news is letters like A are super distinct. I feel like there are a lot of different ways people can write the letter A.
Yeah.
And I do think that is something that doesn't necessarily change over time with handwriting.
Okay,
you know?
I have great news. Hags. And
that's what I'm saying.
There's an A and an S in Angela Waters.
Yeah, and Hags. Yeah.
But that's it.
No, but I think that the A would be very, very helpful. And most people maybe would write more than Hags.
Dear Davey, you are the most popular girl in school. It's okay that you killed Angela Waters. She deserved to do an A anyway. But they wrote it A Waters. And then they're like,
that's it.
Figuring it out.
Boom. Nailed it. Yeah.
Love like the least popular girl in school.
But Imogen is most upset because she has no idea how her mom is connected to all of this stuff. And it sucks. I do feel for Imogen in that, like, it's now almost like you can't really romanticize your relationship with your mother or who she was as a person when you're hearing all of this other stuff that contradicts that, you know? It's really upsetting her grieving process.
Yeah. She's questioning who her mom really was, what she thinks of her mom or as a person. Mm-hmm. Also kind of questioning herself, because back in the day, Imogen was a popular girl. She hung out with Karen and Kelly. So, you know, how much is she similar to her mom in a bad way?
Yeah. Yeah. Then we're in Thanksgiving week now. Farron is just swimming laps in a pool. And I'm just like, since when do you swim, Farron?
This is her new hobby ever since she stopped dancing. She's a swimmer now.
You know what? It's probably really good for like PT, for physical therapy.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking that this was one of her PT exercises.
Yeah.
When people had polio back in, you know, the 30s, 40s, whatever, they swam to get exercise.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that. I just know it's like good for your joints, you know? But Henry asks Farron to go see a movie, but she has PT and he says, oh, maybe over Thanksgiving break. Like, it does seem like she's working herself rather hard. Like, we'll hear later about how often she's wearing her back brace. And it seems like she's trying to speed up her recovery time for her back, which, understandable for Farron's personality. I think this fits who she is, and also fits like her mom being Corey and kind of ingraining all of that in her, both genetically and just by nature, you know.
Nurture. Is there any downside to wearing a brace all the time? Because
that's what I was wondering too, because it's like, oh, you're supposed to wear it 6 hours a day. Well, if you wear it eight, what happens?
Or as much as you can tolerate. But then that's so vague because essentially Farron could tolerate it at all times. And I was thinking, is it kind of like a retainer where you should be wearing it most of the time?
Right.
I don't know.
I think she thinks it's going to speed up the process, but by the way, Madame Giry talks about it, it doesn't seem like that's going to do a ton to speed anything up. So in film class, we have Tabby's teacher wants to talk to her about her short film. He says because of the dark material, she needs to get written permission from her mom to do the short film. And Tabby agrees. She says, that's totally fair. Yeah, I could totally do that. That's great. Which I guess that's fair. I don't know if these I assume these short films are going to be shown to the class. So I guess that makes sense. Although if that's the case, I feel like you would want to get written permission from all the students watching, like their parents that have to watch the film, not the one who's making it. Or maybe both.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I think it makes sense that she's under 18. She is going to do some explicit content. I guess it makes sense that she needs to get parents' permission. But
yeah.
I think that, honestly, I think that it's time for her to tell Sydney what happened. So if this is a good vehicle for that to happen, I'm happy.
Yeah. Yeah. At football practice, Noah tells Sean about Tabby Nimishin. Noah's just blabbing to the whole town. And Sean's like, oh, no, some of the guys are crass, but they would never do that. And I'm just like,
that was what made me suspicious.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I was suspicious about him weeks ago, but this was especially suspicious because it's like I also think the carnival was also something that like sent up my little spidey senses even more, was how he acted at the carnival. And he was just very aggressive.
Well, yeah, but that's the steroids. So
right.
Maybe the only thing that he's hiding is just steroids. Like maybe he's not like,
could be a red herring.
Sexual assault person. Yeah.
Back at Tabby's house. So Tabby talks to her mom about the subject of her short film, and she lies. And she says that, it's inspired by the Angela stuff because Imogen found out that an Angela was assaulted, and Sydney looks pretty upset about this. She does sign the permission slip. And so the actual topic is a woman who is assaulted gets revenge by carving an A on her attacker's chest.
Yeah. This is not the best proposal to your mom. But she doesn't know because Sydney doesn't talk to her at all.
Yep.
But I think that this is the one thing that would like scare her mom away for allowing her to do this, because they're talking about Angela Waters and there's the A and it's, you know, so she signs the permission slip at this point, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. She's like, okay. So then we're at Kelly's house and Imogen is talking to Kelly about the assault, which I guess in order to convince her to get them in to volunteer, yes. I guess it makes sense that she kind of has to do this.
You have to share it.
Yeah. But it also really makes me wonder too, I don't know. I guess I'm very curious to know what the rumors were about Imogen, about like who the father of her baby was.
You know how high school talks, they were all probably saying awful things that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Imogen's like easy or like, you know, irresponsible or all these things. Yep. This was after she got pregnant the same night of the falling out between Karen and Kelly. So I'm sure that Karen and Kelly were kind of feeding the fire for those rumors.
Yeah.
Kelly says something interesting in the scene. She says, like, I feel so bad. I was awful to you that night. Was Kelly awful to her that night? Or was it Karen?
I mean, I think you probably could say both were awful. But yeah, it certainly begs the question of who is this? Still, we're still left wondering. Is it for you? I have a question for you. Has it gone on too long for you not knowing who, if Kelly is Karen or Karen is Kelly? No, I'm just curious to know if you wished that they had revealed this by now. No, okay.
No, I feel like if anything, I wish that they did not have the whole Farron thing, so that it could have been, if it was
like
the case,
more subtle,
like a more like a subtle thing, a subtlety, and then did a big reveal.
I think this show really loves like whacking us over the face with information, though. I don't think subtlety is really in this show's DNA.
I don't think so. But no way. I think that it's a really fun twist if it is the case, or even if it isn't and Kelly's just trying to take over Karen, then I think that's cool too. Like, I think that, you know, I discussed in the first episode, one of the first episodes, that these are storylines that remind me a lot of the Pretty Little Liars books. And it gets me really excited for it to be done in an interesting and cool way.
Yeah.
While I feel like the original Pretty Little Liars series really like messed it all up.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I'm just like, I think I'm with you. Like, I wish they had put doubt in our mind as to whether Kelly was Karen or Karen was Kelly, maybe an episode or two later than they did.
Yeah.
Instead of like, I don't need to be resolved right now, but I'm hoping that we can resolve this by next episode so that the finale can kind of be like more focused like but on then, A and that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Totally. But then, okay, so say that we learn that it is Karen. Then what?
Right.
Like, what? Like, what's the
point? Well, I guess it matters how it all ties in together, right? If it ties in together, we don't know.
I think it's more interesting at this point if it was just Kelly getting, like, trying to take over her sister's popularity.
Which I do think one of the scenes later does kind of point to that. So we'll get into that. But yeah, so Imogen kind of guilt Kelly a little bit where she's just like, you know, we used to be really good friends. I hope you do the right thing.
Love how Kelly's just like, what are we doing? Like, can you explain this?
Yeah, she doesn't get it either.
No, she's like, this is like ridiculous. She's like, what are you're asking me to steal my classmates' blood? Like, this is crazy. And then Imogen's like, we won't need a lot, just a few drops. Like what you get off a cotton ball. It's Imogen's idea about the cotton ball. What am I surprised?
Yeah.
Cute sweater worn by Imogen, though, because it's a turtleneck.
Of course, naturally. So, Farron says she's doing her homework and she has her back brace on. Her dad comes in to check on her and she's been wearing it for a long time. She's only supposed to wear it 6 hours a day, but she does tell him, like, don't worry, I was just about to take it off. And she starts to take it off, like, as he's leaving the room. And then she just, secures it right back on when he leaves. So, yeah. We definitely get the vibe that she is trying to speed along her recovery as quickly as possible.
Right. Which I expect Farron, it makes sense, but also Farron's so smart and I feel like she would know that like taking your time is what you should be doing and there's no shortcuts. So
yeah, I think she is smart enough to know that, but like deep in her heart, she just wants to be dancing. And so she's going to do it. I think in her head she's like, okay, but if I wore it for 8 hours a day, what if that makes a difference? Like, you never know.
Right.
You know,
right?
So I totally relate to it, and I love Farron. I think Farron is actually like, she's one of my favorites. Like, she's been really like such a great character this
please
season.
Just tell me that you like her more than Mouse. I beg of you.
I just think Mouse is very like cutesy. Like, I really like Mouse's naivete, although I really hate what Mouse does later. So yeah, I think she's moved above Mouse. Woo-hoo! At this point.
I win.
Speaking of Mouse, she's visiting Elodie at the hotel and Mouse wants to talk about stuff with Elodie, but she just will not give in. Mouse wants to know about her father. Elodie refuses to tell her anything. I really don't think this is helping anything, because if Mouse wants information, she's gonna find it out. If you won't tell her, she's gonna go looking.
Yeah, first she asks about Angela, Elodie refuses. Then she asks about her dad, Elodie refuses. That's just like, she just is like, forget it, I give up then. And then she goes to, I don't know what this place is. Honrada Pawn and Salvage Unique and Eclectic Finds. What is this and why does this establishment have her birth certificate?
So this is the pawn shop that her parents own. This is
parents own a pawn shop?
This has been mentioned like in passing. Remember when she says she can't do something because she has to do inventory on Halloween at her parents' pawn shop?
I don't remember this. You cannot tell me. Elodie looks like she's an accountant. You can't tell me that this
they
woman
both own a pawn shop. It's called Honrada Pawn and Salvage. That's her last name.
No,
Honrada.
She looks like she does bookkeeping. Like, there's no way that
but I
she
still don't
does. She owns a pawn shop.
They both own a pawn shop together. And it also doesn't make sense to me why you're keeping your child's birth certificate in a filing cabinet at a pawn shop. First of
because
all, that should
have
be kept
it inside the house.
Should be inside the house and should be in a fire safe lock.
You would think. Same. Elodie and her wife are terrible slobs and their office looks a mess.
It really is a big mess. But she does find her birth certificate, and we got confirmation of what we were trying to figure out last episode, which is Aaron Stevens is her biological father and Elodie is her biological mother. So yeah. It was a situation where it was her egg. It was Elodie's egg that they used.
Were you not mind blown at the fact that Aaron Stevens and the whole time, that's the father's name, and the whole time we're like, Steve is so suspicious. At first I was like, this is proof. Steve is the father. He just changed his name a little. It's like there are so many names out in the universe.
They picked
telling me. Yeah. And I do think that it was probably a tease. Like, I would hope that it's intentional.
Well, I think it's definitely intentional that his first name starts with an A.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just thinking about Steve Stevens. Like, I was just thinking that
I guess you're right. It didn't really dawn on me. Honestly, the biggest thing I thought of was that is the most generic freaking name I've ever seen in my life. It's like Aaron's, Michael Johnson or like, you know, Michael Smith.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very generic name.
So, okay, hold on. Her birthday is May 12th, 2007. Damn, this girl's so young.
We are old, man. That's what it is. We are old. You're welcome.
No, this is so messed up. I graduated in 2007 from high school.
Yeah.
2007.
Yeah.
She's a Taurus, right? May 12th?
Yes.
Yeah, it checks out.
Yeah. So back in Imogen's room, she's having trouble matching up the signatures. But Tabby says, maybe you should like chill out about it a little bit. But Imogen says, I really miss my mom. And it's easier when I'm doing things to distract me from the grief, which totally fair. I think that's like a very, common way to grieve, you know, just kind of get your mind off of things.
Yeah. You and I are very project oriented. So yes. I could understand that.
Yeah. And so Tabby says, well, maybe going to the soup kitchen will help you kind of remember her. And also it'll keep you busy at the same time. So we got Tuesday. Kelly gets all the girls into the nurse's office. And I love how it's just like, I know you only needed one volunteer, but I have five more.
Yeah. Yeah. So exciting. And then freaking Imogen is so creepy. She's like, I want blood from everyone.
That is so, so creepy. I couldn't handle it.
With her sick smile.
And so, yeah, then they're all like going about their different ways to get people to donate. And so they're like, okay, who is it that promises you don't have to go to class after you donate blood? And I'm like, are you allowed to promise that?
I don't remember. Yeah, it was Noah, which makes a lot of sense. Like, Noah is probably like, yeah, you don't have to go to class. Like, don't worry about it. She's so like casual at times. You're like, yeah, you don't have to go to class. It's fine.
Yeah.
She's like sitting on the teacher's desk when she's saying it without a care in the world.
And Tabby gives free passes to the Orpheum, and her teacher is like giving her a side eye the entire time. I'm just like, does he just not like her? I don't understand this.
That's what I was thinking, but the real reason is like, oh crap, I'm gonna have to tell this girl that her movie's rejected. Like, I have to deal with her. I don't want to think about this. Because why else? Like, because the next scene we see like her movie got rejected.
This is so, so upsetting that it's like, okay, she went through the whole trouble of getting her mom's permission to do this. And then you're going to say, it was almost like the teacher didn't expect her mom to sign off on it. And then when she did, he's like, shit, now I got to find another way to deny this. So he goes to the principal, and the principal says, we can't have students exposed to such content. And like I said, I do think it's one of those things where it's okay, then you get a permission slip for the students, because I'm with Tabby. This is the reality we're living in. Like, yeah, these things do happen to women.
One parent says that they're not comfortable, then what does that mean? Then she can't do it?
I think that student can't watch it. I think it's like anytime you have a film that's a little bit
like the time crazy. In preschool when they aired Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and I was too scared and I had to get put in a different room.
Exactly. Just like that. And then also I just thought the principal seemed sus.
The principal is sus.
Everyone's suspicious. Everyone's.
I haven't forgotten him in the cafeteria picking up some weird pamphlet.
I think the principal probably knew of Angela Waters. Like, I think that every adult used to go to this school. It's one of those towns that you can never escape from.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he went to that school and now he's principal of that school. And yeah,
you know what? You know what was suspicious?
What?
When when Chip invited Imogen to Thanksgiving. How dare he?
I mean, that was fine. But she tells him about the soup kitchen and he is instantly in.
And you find that suspicious. Not that he wants to do philanthropy and cares about the homelessness epidemic in this country.
He's just so eager with Imogen. And he was like so in love with Tabby that I'm like, moving on a little bit quickly, aren't we, Chip?
Maybe he really just cares about giving back to the community.
Hopefully. We can all hope. But let's take a quick ad break while I have to contemplate all of the, I have to compile my list of suspicious individuals.
The list will be too long.
We'll be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Act dance class. Farron decides she wants to audit. I don't know. What do you audit in a dance class? Do you know the answer to this?
You observe what's going on in the class, and then you kind of take it in. So that's what it is. It
means you're watching.
You're watching. Yeah, okay. It's like,
why should the word audit then?
I don't know. Somebody used that with me recently, and that's what I learned, because I wanted to go into a history of interior design class back at my university, and they said that I can audit a class or two.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah.
She finds out Giselle's going to be pushed to next year. Jiri says there's no shortcuts. You can wear your brace all day. It's not going to speed up your recovery. So we do see Farron take off the brace and text Henry about movie and a pizza, seemingly like, okay, at least she's taking a break. You know, I think Madame Jiri got to her a little bit and maybe gotten, you know, made her understand a little bit.
She seems upset about this.
I mean, yeah, fair enough, you know.
Understandably so, but at least she's
fair enough.
Fair enough, yeah. Fair enough. So she's going to go to the pizza place like everybody else.
Everybody. Yeah. Football practice, Noah tells Sean about their plan with the blood drive. And I was like, don't tell him. Do not tell him. He's sus as fuck.
Yeah. And she was like, do you think that you can get all your football bros to come with? And he's like, No, because all of them are on steroids and they do not want to risk getting kicked off the crappy football team, even though it shouldn't even be football season anymore because there's snow on the ground.
I thought that too. I was like, wait a minute. If there's snow, are they supposed to be playing football?
Football all year round at Millwood.
Apparently.
Where? I mean, where are they Pennsylvania. Filming this? Where are they filming it?
Ooh, I don't know. Probably Toronto.
Yeah.
No? Isn't that where they film like all
stuff? Oh, you're right. North? That's where they film like the Riverdale stuff. You're yeah. right.
Yeah. So he says, oh, I'll donate though. And I'm like, I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will, Sean.
But then, like, what happens? Then, I mean, to be honest with you, if we're just putting a cotton ball in a pile, then sure.
Or I think that Noah's just like, oh, Sean's innocent. We don't need his cotton ball.
Yeah. Okay, so Pretty Little Liars Original Sin is filmed entirely in New York, specifically in Ulster County, Hudson, Catskill, and Shinnedaki.
I'm sorry, Schenectady?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what? I'm such an idiot because I remember hearing about that after the fact and being so upset because a lot of those places are very close to me.
Jessica, you and I, like 6 months ago, were saying that we're going to sneak on to the...
I know, like, I forgot.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about sneaking on to the set. I have
cheese brain. It's not my fault.
Well, I didn't remember either. This. How yeah. far away is this?
It was worth it to hear you try to pronounce Schenectady, I gotta say.
Oh, it's not a normal word to say. How far away is this from you?
Schenectady?
Any of these places.
Very, very yeah. close. Let's put it this way. I know all the names that you just said, meaning they're close enough where I know them. I'm sorry.
Doesn't make sense.
If they do a season two, we'll go sneak on set.
We have to.
Yeah. But yeah, so we're back in the library and Noah has plan B. You know what? Well, the jocks are out playing football. We'll go swipe their DNA off of all the stuff in the locker room.
Brilliant idea, Noah, because this is exactly what we need. And now we can, you know, do something with...
Well, basically, at least if they have blood cotton balls and then they have a separate DNA bag of jock stuff, they could test them separately and at least narrow down, is it a jock or not?
Oh, got it.
But the problem is, so they're going into the locker room. This is such a gross scene. We see, like, okay, they're going to wipe mouth guards. Okay, I'm on board with that. That's fine. Why are we taking the biggest, like, squirrel-sized thing of hair out of the drain? You can't separate that. That's all their hair combined. What are you going to do?
So gross.
The view of it, too. They shot it from, like, under the drain. It was – I wanted to gag. It was loogies. So nasty. And then they also take a jock strap. Aren't the guys going to notice that's missing?
All you need to – do is, well, that's the thing, like, aren't they gonna notice like all this stuff is missing? And I guess they only need hair within the jock strap. I don't know, these girls are, the fact that they have these rubber gloves, they have the long q-tips, where are they getting this stuff? I have so many questions about this process.
Yeah,
how did they come across this? Why did they decide to do this?
It's all gross. It's all very gross. Yeah. I understand. I think the mouth guards for me are probably the best bet, where you do a Q-tip. I think the smart way you do it is you look for all their mouth guards. You individually Q-tip, seal it, label it. And then you know whose is whose. If you're just taking a big clump of hair out of the drain, how are you separating that?
But I guess to them, it doesn't matter, because at least if they can narrow down if it's a jock or not, then it's good enough for them.
I know, but they could do more. That's the thing. They could easily do more.
Okay. Obviously, none of these people have organizational skills. They're mad people. They're mad. I cannot believe that they have a pile of cotton balls and said, that's good enough. I thought they were going to systematically label each cotton ball and sample to determine exactly who it was. why are they so lazy? Why can they do that?
It's just the dumbest plan is the problem. It's even with Noah's part B, which does make it slightly less stupid. It's so stupid. And I loved, shout out to our Potion Recaps patron Discord. If you want to become a member, potionrecaps.com/Patreon. I do love watching people live react to the show. And we had quite the crew this morning. Shout out to Todd and Kate and Brenna watching this episode, all of which every single last one of them was like, this is so stupid. Like, they don't know whose blood is whose on these condoms.
It's just, it's madness. But the fact that nobody was like, hey, everybody, like, this is a really bad idea, or maybe we should do it this way. How in the world did you get Farron to agree to this?
If
anybody, Farron would be the one person that'd be like,
I'm not touching that.
Not touching this, or like, hey, dingbats, like, maybe we should try it this way. Not even Farron. She's too busy with her back brace.
Yep. Meanwhile, the moms are all meeting. Sydney says the girls are still investigating Angela Waters. They found out that she was sexually assaulted. And they're like, Corey's like, Sydney, you need to snoop and find out how much they know. And I'm like, can anybody just have an honest conversation with the daughter?
Please. You will stop the search if you're just honest with your children. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, don't tell the whole truth. And then maybe that'll be enough for them. Probably not.
A little bit of a tidbit. Yeah. Mouse tells Ash that her moms aren't speaking to one another, and we find out some information about Ash, which I was really excited to learn. I've been really enjoying Ash on the show. Ash is adopted, which Todd did mention in the Discord, and it kind of got implanted in my brain a little bit. It could make him a little bit suspicious in terms of, if he's adopted, one of his parents could somehow be related to this Angela Waters situation. Which is possible. But he says his parents have always been very supporting and loving, including when he came out as trans. This is a trans actor on the show as well. I love the representation, and I also love that until episode 8, it was never mentioned that he was trans in terms of like it being this huge story and this big thing. I just love how it's just very normal, right? We had guessed that the Spectrum Club was some type of LGBTQIA club. We weren't positive because it also, Spectrum is also something that is commonly used when talking about some kind of like autism spectrum as well. I love Ash, and I love this little character note. And I like that Mouse is, because Mouse has a similar type of situation, and so she can relate. And she asks, would you meet your birth parents if you could? And he says, yes. And I think that kind of is just like, okay, so it's okay. It's cool if I feel that way too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I think that it's really cool. I especially like that Ash was able to really develop his character, and we get to really get to know Ash for who Ash is, instead of being, you know, the asterisk, like, this is a trans character and here's all these cool facts about it. It's like, oh, here are these, all these cool things about Ash. And then this is an additional thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was cool. I liked that the show did that.
Yeah. And so Mouse finds her old Girl Scout uniform. And I was like, the hell is she going to use this for?
No, I had no clue. I did not know where they were going with this. I was like, okay, is she going to, I don't know, like, look up patches that she won, or I don't know. I did not expect her to put on the old Girl Scout uniform and go find her father's house. That is something that I was not expecting.
Yeah.
But she thought that was a good idea.
So back at the Orpheum, Tabby's working on her film project. Wes wants to know what's going on, and she says, I'm going to reframe rape stories through the female lens. And but her teacher won't let her. Wes says, make it anyway, one film for them and one for her. That's what will get you into NYU. And she says he's right, but Wes is still a big creep.
Wes is still a good creep, but this was good advice.
Very good advice.
Make the piece that you want to. Even if it's not for school, you should make it. That's what you're passionate about. That's what you should make. That is advice that Dawson Leary would be proud of.
Yeah. soup kitchen time. We have a flashback where that Imogen is thinking of. Davey runs off to talk to a woman at the soup kitchen who looks like it could be Rose Waters.
Could
the woman is staring at Imogen, and her mom is like, "We gotta go. We gotta go." What did you think of this like tiny flashback where we possibly see Rose Waters?
I definitely thought it was Rose Waters. I definitely think that made her realize that she could possibly be still in town. It's interesting to see Davey still go up to Rose Waters after all these years and try to speak with her. I don't know if you feel like it was the right thing to do for Davey and her friends to go visit Rose Waters in the Radley Sanitarium, but in a way it's a little bit disrespectful for them to continuously go and visit her, and especially if she's feeling some sort of way about it.
Yeah, it is really interesting. I mean, you have to imagine that if Rose knew about Angela's like assault, that she probably also knew about the girls, like the girls she was hanging with. And so we're back to reality, and Chip is like, "Are you okay, Imogen? You look, you know, like you were staring to a far off place." And Imogen does tell Tabby about the thought she had and realizing that was probably Rose Waters, but Sydney is listening. And Tabby says, "Well, maybe Rose is in Millwood." And Imogen says, "I think the best way to find information is to find the Waters house." So Sydney be snooping around, listening to her daughter talking.
Yeah, but I hate what comes of it, though.
What comes of Sydney listening, or what comes of Imogen talking about Rose Waters?
No, what comes of Sydney listening? Because then she turns it around and is like, "Imogen's a bad influence on you."
Oh, yeah. It's so stupid. It's so ridiculous. Wednesday, Noah is walking around with the most Band-Aids I've ever seen in my entire life. So many Band-Aids.
I know. I was like, this is such a freaking plug for Band-Aid brand Band-Aids.
Sponsored by Band-Aid.
Band-Aids. Johnson & Johnson rules the world, unfortunately. Yes.
And so she sees the jocks just exchanging bright blue pills out in the open.
Yeah. Yeah.
So stupid.
It was. It really, really was. But now we get to see the actual blood drive in work.
So walk us through the blood drive shenanigans and how they're going about this.
So first of all, we have Farron and Tabby running the front desk, which I loved. I was like, okay, like, get it. They are two people in charge of signing people in, but their jobs could be to document in order who got the blood, and that could help, but no, it doesn't. So then we turn to the back, and then we see people giving blood, and Kelly is like the Band-Aid bitch. Like, she's the one putting the Band-Aids on everybody, but then, like, she doesn't actually put the cotton swab on, like, in the Band-Aid. Like, when you get blood done, they do that. They put the cotton thing in, and then they wrap you. But no, Kelly is a cotton swab stealer, and she takes the cotton swab and then puts it in the trash. And then, who is it? It's like, who comes around and collects the mouse, collects the garbage? Somebody collects the garbage and then, you know, steals the garbage. And then Imogen's job is to run into the nurse's office. And I thought she was going to look up the list of people giving blood. But in reality, she's just trying to find Rose Waters' address.
I don't know where to start here besides saying these computers are password protected. 0% chance she's able to walk in and just start typing up on the computer. Also, why do they still have Rose Waters / Angela Waters information in here?
I don't know. This database is so old. So it was Noah who was the garbage collector. Don't make Noah do this. This is disrespectful to my girl Noah. Give her a better job. She could be a Band-Aid bitch.
Promoter.
Which job would you want? Would you rather be Okay, and then Mouse. Okay, so then that means Mouse is doing absolutely nothing.
No, she's telling just, about telling Ash how cute he looks and with his like a greaser with his sleeves rolled up,
which is not that weird of a thing to say. But then Ash was like, "You're so weird. I love you." It's like, what? Maybe it's weird for like children because it's a Grease reference, but whatever. So which job would you want? Would you want to be the secretary people that sign people in? Would you want to be the Band-Aid bitch? Would you want to be the trash collector that takes the cotton balls? Or do you want to hack into the computer? Or do you want to flirt with Ash?
I think I want to flirt with Ash of all those jobs.
No, you need a real job, Jessica.
Fine. I guess I'll be Band-Aid bitch.
No, I want to be Band-Aid bitch.
Well, like, you can't just say which do you want to do and then tell me I can't do two of them.
Okay, fine.
And I'll sign people in. How's that? I definitely don't want to be the hacker.
Yeah, that's a big responsibility.
It's too much anxiety for me. Yeah, I don't want that.
Well, I don't know if I want Band-Aid bitch anymore because it got really bloody.
You just said you wanted it. Do you want to be sign-in instead?
Yeah, I do.
All right, I'm going to do Band-Aids. Anyway, so they give Marjorie all the cotton swabs and they have to wait a week or two for results. And so then, of course, they're going to go to the pizza place. Classic. and Tabby says it's a classic post-Ocean's 11 crash after caper. So, yeah.
Farron says, for that thrilling movie reference.
I just watched Ocean's 12. So I got the reference, actually.
Did it feel like that was a true statement made by the movie buff?
Yes, because they always, like, hang and, like, talk after. They, like, relax.
I don't know. If I'm doing something that's a little bit criminal, I'm not going to be hanging out with my criminal bros.
Oh, that's a good point. You got to separate.
After. Yeah, I'll be like, bye.
We're friends, so it looks sus if they separate.
I guess. It's Thanksgiving. Shouldn't they be with their families?
I mean, definitely. Definitely. But Farron says, you know what? We're going to all go to a club that doesn't ID. I want to dance. And everyone is in. Just the girls. Dance time. They go to a club. First of all, Kelly gets invited somehow. She's there.
Kelly did a lot of work. She put a lot of Band-Aids on people. She stole a good amount of cotton balls. She deserves to go to the pizza place and to go clubbing.
And they all, I will say, I thought they all looked very cute.
They look very cute.
Outfits.
They all have their clubbing outfits on.
Except, okay. Now, I've never been pregnant, so I can't speak on this. But if I am 7 months pregnant, 0% chance you're bringing me out to a club to dance my butt off.
Well, it's because you're 31. But in reality...
She could just say it's because you're old.
But I think
Because truly I'm not going to a club anyway.
Exactly. I think 16-year-olds could dance. Haven't you ever seen that movie Knocked Up? They tried to go to the club the whole time, Katherine Heigl.
I do not remember that movie, I gotta say.
Oh, okay. Well, Katherine Heigl and Judd Apatow's wife tried to go to the club the whole movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, it's just not for me. But yes. They do ask favorite clubbing movie. So we have Tabby says The Last Days of Disco. I have not seen it.
Haven't seen it.
Imogen says Saturday Night Fever with John Travolta.
Yes,
at least know what that one is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Night at the Roxbury, I have seen. That is Noah's pick.
Yeah, everyone's seen that.
Climax is Farron's favorite, which I have not
seen. It's a French movie. She has to be bougie.
Mouse loves Paris is Burning, which I know Paris is Burning.
Yes, if you're a RuPaul Drag Race fan, they reference it all the time.
And Kelly says Party Girl.
Yeah, that's a great one. I don't know.
I will say I do love Kelly's top where it has like the cutout is like a heart shape. I thought that was very cute.
Yeah, they're all really adorable in all of these outfits. I even like Imogen's outfit.
Yeah, it was matchy. She had her hair up in a high pony. She was rocking it.
Yeah.
But Kelly sneaks back in at 2 a.m. and her father's just waiting there. She asks where he's been.
Yeah. They kind of have like a head-to-head battle here.
They do. He's been out kissing a guy, but he says he's been working. And Kelly's like, oh, that's weird. You're not wearing your uniform. And then she walks away and there's like this
smirk. I liked that.
Very Karen-y smirk. But it could be Kelly turning into Karen. You know what I mean?
Sure. All of the above. All of the above.
Yeah. Then Tabby and Imogen get home. Sydney wants to talk to Tabby alone. She has Tabby's laptop and we see a lot of naked boys in the locker room.
I saw some butts.
A lot of butts. HBO loves a butt. See Time Traveler's Wife, which unfortunately got canceled. So Sydney says, since Imogen got here, you've been a different person. And it's just like, lies. Absolute lies. But Tabby says, you have secrets, and that's why. We don't talk. We don't really talk. I want you to just ask me and stop living in denial. But because I think that we get like a flashback where we do see Tabby getting home really late from that jock party and Sydney kind of thinking something was up but not saying anything. And so I think Tabby knows and Sydney knows what really happened, but Sydney is not willing to ask Tabby anything.
Which
and
is
so
a shame.
It's yeah, it's awful. There's just this gulf between them.
Yeah, I think that Sydney could have really made a difference in Tabby's life that night if she just insisted on speaking with her daughter instead of questioning, why are you drinking? Like, how could you be out so late? You know, she could have really changed the narrative if she was, you know, open to what her daughter went through.
Yep, exactly. But she didn't, and Tabby leaves, and they don't talk anymore about this. It's Thanksgiving now, and okay, of all the plans, I mean, the blood drive one's pretty dumb, but Mouse is pretending to be a Girl Scout on Thanksgiving?
Okay, is the issue that Thanksgiving is not usually the time for Girl Scout cookies to be sold? Is it that I do think it's a good idea. Not what Mouse is doing. I'm saying, I do think it's a good idea for Girl Scouts to sell cookies on Thanksgiving because everyone's home. So you'll ring the doorbell. There's guaranteed somebody at the door. That's number one. Number two.
Well, she's not even selling. Listen, she's just delivering.
Listen. I'm just saying, if any Girl Scouts want to sell cookies on Thanksgiving, I think it's a good idea. Number two, sometimes you can't get to the pie in time. You don't have pie or you need extra dessert. I think Girl Scout cookies is a really good, you know, emergency dessert. So I think the Girl Scouts need to get on this. But Mouse is freaking stupid as hell for selling Girl Scout cookies. She does not look like a Girl Scout. She looks like she's like 37 years old selling Girl Scout cookies. It's ridiculous.
On top of that, she's like delivering them on Thanksgiving. And a little girl answers, which also felt unrealistic to me in this day and age to have a child answer your front door, but whatever. And it's Aaron Stevens' house. Melwood.
We're either getting murdered on the daily or we are wandering in darkness. Yeah. There's no in between.
That's it. And you're gonna die because you're wandering in darkness.
Exactly. Yeah. Millwood is like basically the streets.
Yeah. But she says, I have cookies for Aaron Stevens. And he's like, I didn't order Girl Scout cookies. And she's just like, do you know who I am, Dad?
Yeah. My issue is that this little girl is probably the child that their parents have been waiting for.
Yes.
For years and years and years. You're having this conversation before, but my biggest issue is that the little girl has an American Girl doll and it's freaking Molly. Don't you love your children? Don't buy your child the Molly American Girl doll. Do you want her to be an outcast?
Oh my God.
Here's Samantha. Like every so bad bitch in the world.
Against Molly. I really loved Molly.
Because you were a dork.
I was.
You were not a bad bitch.
And the really cute glasses. I got the American Girl doll that looked like me and I bought glasses for it.
Just get Molly. Why didn't you just get Molly?
I don't know. I should have. She looked just like me.
Molly's trash. But no, Mouse, like, don't say these things in front of the little girl. Like, that's so confusing.
Yeah. But he instantly, she's like, I just want to know you. But he shoos her away. He's like, nope, this is a mistake. Bye. See you later.
I want to know you. You look like a weirdo.
Yeah. Imogen goes to help out at the shelter before dinner. And Sydney's like, dinner's at 6. Okay, great. Meanwhile, Noah's hanging out at Sean's house because Marjorie is working on Thanksgiving at a pizza place. Mm-hmm. His dad, I think we get a glimpse at Sean's like home life because his dad seems very pushy and very puts a lot of pressure on Noah about sports. or excuse me, about Sean about sports, which but also then he then pushes turn, on
Noah because he was like, oh, tell me about like the track team. Like, are you running? Are you going to do good? Like, how are you going to win if you don't practice every day? Like stuff like that. And you can see kind of like why Sean might have felt pressure to take steroids so that he could be the best, so that he can impress his father. His mom seems lovely though.
Yeah. And of course, Noah goes snooping in Sean's room and finds blue pills. So
very upset. She's very upset.
Yeah. Tabby deletes all the locker room videos that she has, and she gets a text message that says silence kills.
We've heard that before.
Same thing. Then we get a guy just randomly coming over on Thanksgiving to their house, and it is Tyler's dad. And he's like, oh, I need to talk to Tabby. She knows what happened to my boy.
Not appropriate
on Thanksgiving too.
Not on Thanksgiving. Anything. I mean, not ever, but it's Thanksgiving. Black Friday, maybe.
Yeah. Sydney's like, you need to get on out of here. See you later, bud.
But then she turns to her daughter. And is like, are you going to tell me the truth of what really happened?
It's like,
are you responsible?
Sydney, why don't you start telling the truth? How about that?
Exactly. How about that? Also, Sydney was so mean to Imogen.
Yeah. Not great. Not great at all.
No.
Don't like it.
Nope.
And then we have at Mouse's house. Mouse and her mom are just chilling on the couch watching some movie. And then Mouse decides she hasn't already made enough mistakes today. She's going to go in her bedroom and freaking chat request Steve.
Now, okay. So in my opinion, she did this because she was looking for someone that actually wanted to be her dad.
Of course, that's why she did it. But like, Mouse, this is still a terrible decision.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Steve is a creep. We've been here before.
Yeah. She's talking to him on the Discord as usual. Yep. Let's see. She speaks to Ash. Ash's Discord name is Ash versus Evil Dead. Love that for Ash. Steve is just Steve B.
Steve B. Of course it is. Imogen decides I'm going to go to Angela Waters' house alone.
Bad idea.
Yeah. Really, and it's bad. A mess. It's disgusting. There's newspaper everywhere. Wait, and the moment I see ropes tied to a bed, I am out. I'm not going there to begin with, but I am out of there. Out of there.
Why is this house abandoned after all these years? Is it really nobody's taking care of this place?
Well, Crazy Joe has been there.
Crazy Joe definitely has been there. Crazy Joe had like groceries, but
I don't even know.
So we go in and there's a lot of suspicious things and it looks really decrepit and newspapers everywhere, and we find A's mask
hanging on a wall too. Like, it's like a kind of almost like animal heads hang on walls.
Oh, what about the freaking cage?
We gotta talk about the cage. Okay,
what's
so
up with the cage?
There's a cage and it has like hay or straw in it. Like, they've been keeping a human in there?
And a water bowl, but then there is like some clothes in the corner.
Yeah. And Imogen goes upstairs. That's where A's mask is. And then, so I don't know. I assume that the ropes tied to the bed were to keep Angela's mom like restrained.
Okay, sure.
But who's staying in the cage?
I don't know. I honestly, like, A's victims? I don't know. I was thinking you could think if he kept Tyler alive, which he didn't do, then I was thinking it could have been that. But I have really no clue who's in the cage.
I thought the cage was back from like the Angela and Rose days. Not
you think
from...
so?
I thought so.
This house is the creepiest house ever.
And then Imogen is going downstairs and there's freaking Crazy Joe, who has a knife, just starts chasing her.
We didn't talk about the body. Oh, no, we didn't see
the body yet.
Sorry.
Yeah. She runs and hides behind a door as if he won't find her.
I know. She's really the worst at hiding.
This is really, truly like this is like when you're watching a scary movie and you're like, you're so stupid for what you're doing.
I know.
That moment.
I know. He finds her really easily because she finds the body.
Yeah. So there's a body on a dead body on a bed. And there's like a baby doll next there.
Ooh, there's like so many creepy things in this room. I gotta tell you.
Can we get confirmation? I'm pretty sure they found Angela's body at that warehouse, right? So this has to be Rose.
You would think so, but why were people saying that it was Angela later on? I don't know.
No, it could be Angela. That's the thing. It could be Angela. Maybe he took her body before the cops got there.
She got dug up.
Or that too.
On the ground.
Yes. And Imogen eventually smashes a vase on Crazy Joe's head and gets out of there. She runs.
Yeah. Well, good for her. Yeah.
Back at the Tabby household, Sydney asks Tabby if Tyler hurt her. And this is when Tabby tells her mom about the sexual assault.
Yeah, I'm glad that they finally were able to be honest. I feel like it felt like a little late because I just wish that Sydney was listening. I wish they were able to communicate, but I'm glad that she was able to open up to her mom finally.
Yes.
So yeah, that was good. And I think that her mother's response was really sweet in these moments. She was like, I'm sorry. Like she hugged her. So I think that it went well, and I'm glad that her mom was willing to listen.
Mm-hmm. So then Greg and Kelly are kissing in the car, and Kelly's like, I just had like the worst Thanksgiving. And then she says, call me Karen.
When she was like, just I have one thing, and I said before she even said it, call me Karen. And then she said, call me Karen. I was like, yeah, there it is.
This to me speaks to Kelly wanting to be Karen versus it actually being Karen.
Could be either, to but be it could honest be either. With you.
Yeah.
But I was like, there it is. I loved that she said it because it's sick.
It's sick. It's twisted.
And I love it. I love how disgusting and like, I don't know, it feels so wrong, but it was like, yeah, if you're gonna go there, Kelly, go there. Like, if you're gonna be a crazy, like, psychopath killer, then take over her personality. Way. Like, go all the way. Call me Karen. Loved it. 10 out of 10.
Imogen is waiting at the bus stop, and she texts the other girls. They meet up at freaking Pinball Pizza place again. And Imogen tells them all what happened. The masks was there. The body, she says, was probably Angela's. And Noah says, oh, let's just go and confront him. What? I'm sorry, Noah. What?
Noah's decision-making has been very poor this episode, but it's okay because her and her little doe eyes can do whatever, and I'll be like, yeah, you're a cutie.
And yet the rest of the girls are just like, you know what? It's 5 against 1. We have butcher knives.
Wait, who said that they had butcher knives at their house?
And they have, and not only that, this is the weirdest thing to me because most people in a butcher block have like one, I don't know what they're called, like probably a butcher knife, like the one big
cleaver.
One.
Isn't it called a cleaver?
No, a cleaver is like the square one. Like they all have these like random, like sharp, long knives, but usually there's only one of those in a block, not five.
Yeah, they don't have a block of butcher knives. They have a knife block with a butcher knife in it.
They have five of them.
They brought like a pairing. No, there was all sorts of different knives. There was a long skinny knife. There was a butcher knife. There was a cleaver. There was a paring knife. Like
whoever gets stuck with the paring knife is screwed. That one's so small.
yeah. They did
give
a really
me the longest,
job.
Sharpest one possible.
Yeah, well, I mean, how sharp is their knives? Do they sharpen their knives very often?
I just don't want the cleaver because that one you can't poke stab. You have to like slice stab.
Got it.
You know, I want the pokey kind.
Yeah.
And I don't want the serrated because I feel like that's not going to do as much damage.
the bread knife?
Yeah, I don't want the bread knife.
Okay, I won't give you the bread knife.
So they're just walking around with knives. No big deal. But the body's gone. No Crazy Joe. And so they go back to Crazy Joe's train car because that also seems like a great idea.
Yeah, we know just where to go. So then they find Crazy Joe. It looks like he's hung himself, in my opinion. No freaking way. No way.
I think so too. He left a note. Angela Waters did not die in vain. And there's a yearbook
the
just
a
sitting
in
there.
Red.
Yes.
Love it.
The yearbook is sitting there. It's her mom's senior yearbook. Joe had it. Imogen says, we can call the police, but they decide to do it as anonymous tip. So they all leave. And this is when we find out that Joe's handwriting is a match for the sixth signature. And he had scratched out all their mom's photos in the yearbook.
It's pretty creepy.
It's very creepy.
Pretty creepy.
Imogen says, really? Crazy Joe is A? Could it be that simple? And Tabby, the queen of horror movies, Tabby says, based on every horror movie I've seen, it's never that simple.
It's never that simple. It's not. There's no way. I think that Crazy Joe was like lightly involved. I think that he did A's grunt work.
I think he knew a lot more and that information died with him. Yeah. But I think he was like a pretty decent red herring to have, but we still have two episodes. So obviously he's not A. Come on now.
But I think that he could have been in the creepy killer costume, but I don't think that he's the mastermind behind A. Mm-hmm. I think that he's like the big hulking figure that we've been seeing, but I don't think that he's actually the brainchild of A. Like, I don't think that he was controlling things all the way.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
And I think that he was disposable to A.
Easily disposable. Yeah. And that was our episode. Easily the most off the walls episode we've had.
It was nutty, but it was fun. And that's all I can ask for from Pretty Little Liars. That's the only thing that I want.
We're lucky enough to have two episodes left. Do you want to hear the title for the next episode?
Yeah.
Dead and Buried.
Bed with a B?
No, sorry. Dead.
With a D. Oh, okay. Okay, perfect. Dead and Buried.
Dead and Buried.
Sure. Perfect. Amazing.
So that's exciting. I'm really excited. I actually think I'm going to watch it tonight when we're done recording.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yeah, I really want
to
see it.
Yeah, I want to. I'm dying to know what's going on.
Dying to know. But yeah, that was our episode. Sarah, what do you have to plug this week?
A lot. Most excitingly, A League of Their Own with Grace and Marissa. We've been having a really good time covering that, so check it out. All 8 episodes are released on Amazon Prime. You can watch that on post-show recaps. Well, listen to it on post-show recaps. Aside from that, Jessica and I are back to podcasting about Boy Meets World and Dawson's Creek. And this weekend, we are going to be covering Xenon Girl of the 21st Century. So super excited to do all of that. You can find me at Sarah Ferguson. And you can find all that I do on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me.
You can find me at The Just Sterling. I am also finishing up Paper Girls with Deidre here, as well as also, of course, covering Community on Community Building. We are midway through season 3 there. And of course, if you're enjoying everything, please leave us a review, subscribe, posterrecaps.com/Pretty Little Liars. We are also in the HBO feed. If you want to contribute to the conversation, you could totally do so by being in the Poster Recaps Discord at any level of the patronage, posterrecaps.com/Patreon. We have merch as well, of course, t-shirts, what? Hats, mugs, anything you might want, posterrecaps.com/store. That is all we have.
What about cotton swabs?
We don't sell cotton swabs, unfortunately. Rats. But you know what? If you need to, I don't know where I was going with that. I was going to do something weird with mugs, but
you know what? If two can keep a secret,
we still need to figure that out. If two can keep a secret,
then one of them is dead.
Exactly. We'll figure it out in 2 more episodes. We'll figure out we'll also figure out how good at detectives we are and if we were right about anything along the way. Thank you all for listening. We will be back in just a few days with more coverage of Pretty Little Liars. Talk to you all next time. Bye. Ah.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.